We're continuing our reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the text is 105, but we've actually got five verses before then to read which have no purport. So we'll look at those verses first. Dekhi uparagihase sighar ganga hasti asi Ananda karala gangashnan Pana uparaga chale apanara manubala Brahmanara dila nanadan. Seeing the lunar eclipse and laughing, both Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur immediately went to the bank of the Ganga and bathed in the Ganga in great jubilation. Taking advantage of the occasion, of the lunar eclipse, Advaita Acharya, by his own mental strength, distributed various types of charity to the brahmanas. Actually, it was meant to be from 101, so I'll carry on there. Jagat anandamaya deki mana sa vishmaya tera karo kahe haridasa tumara kinchna ranga mora mana prashana deki kichu kare acha bhasha. When he saw that the whole world was jubilant, Haridas Thakur, his mind astonished, directly and indirectly expressed himself to Advaita Acharya. You are dancing and distributing charity, and you are very pleasing to me. I can understand that there is some special purpose in these actions. Next verse, 102. Acharya Ratna Srivas Haila Mana Shukhalas Haishnan Kaila Ganga Jal Ananda Vihamano Kare Hari Sankirtana Nanadana Kaila Manubal. Acharya Ratna, who's Chandrasekhar, and Srivas Thakur were overwhelmed with joy, and immediately they went to the bank of the Ganga to take bath in the waters of the Ganga. Their minds full of happiness, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and gave charity by mental strength. So these are all the verses which are all about the advent of Lord Chaitanya, which is it's a good chapter. It carries on for a little while longer, and then we go on to the childhood pastimes. And in the last couple of verses, and in the next one as well, very similar. And then finally we get to 105, which is a purport in there as well. So here, interestingly, they're talking about giving, in the last two verses, three verses, giving of charity when the Lord appeared. And that's a very important principle, which is there within the Vedic injunctions, to give charity. Even and here, specifically, Chandrasekhar and Srivas, they give charity by mental strength through the mind. Not the best form of charity here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, when somebody comes at the and says, I want to support the Haveli, here's my mental strength. We do have to pay the bills, we might say. But even when the birth of Lord Krishna happened, Vasudev, he was in prison. So when Lord Krishna appeared, he also gave charity, thousands of cows, ornaments in his mind. In his mind, he gave charity as well. So very similar here, that giving charity within your mind. The different levels of giving which are mentioned. And the easiest level of giving is to give wealth. We might think, my God, I thought that was the hardest one. But say it's the easiest one. The easiest level of giving is to give your wealth. But even higher than giving your wealth is to give your time. Because once you've given your wealth, you can do what you like. But to give your time, you have to be here. And hence volunteering is a great thing, that you give your time here. But even higher than giving your time is to give your personal commitment to spiritual practice. Because that takes even more effort to commit to spiritual life. And here we are in the month of Kartik with so many individuals making personal commitments. I will come for Mangal Arati, isn't it? It's a personal commitment. That takes a lot more than just giving some time or giving some wealth. And the highest level of giving, I believe, is not giving, but it's giving up our pride so that we cooperate with others for a greater cause, Krishna consciousness. So that's the greatest giving, that we work together, as Prabhupada would say, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. So I think that's the greatest form of giving. Not giving, but giving up. Giving up our pride so that we can work for the preaching of Krishna consciousness. 103 here. Emata bhaktitara yandra ye deshistila tahara tahan pano manobal nachikara sankirtana ananda viva mana danakare graha narochal. In this way, all the devotees, whoever they were situated in every city, in every country, danced, performed sankirtan, and gave charity by mental strength on the plea of the lunar eclipse with their minds overwhelmed with joy. So here they're meditating upon this appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're dancing in great ecstasy, seeing the form of the Lord. And as the Chaitanya Bhagavat very nicely explains the form of the Lord, you definitely would dance in ecstasy. Ajanu lambito bujo kanakavadato sankirtanaika pitaro kamalaya daksho Vishambaro, Dvijavaro, Yuga Dharamapalo, Vande Jagat Priyakaro, Karuna Avataro. So this translation is a very nice translation of that. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, whose long arms extend to their knees. So this is a great meditation. And you would dance in ecstasy as they are dancing, meditating on this form. They have splendid golden complexions, and they inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Their eyes resemble the petals of lotus flowers. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nandaki. Their eyes resemble petals of lotus flowers. They're the maintainers of the worlds, the best of the Brahmins, the protectors of religious principles for this age. They bring happiness to the people of the world, and they are most merciful of all incarnations. So this is a great inauguration verse, the Mangalacharana to Chaitanya Bhagavat, I believe, which gives a nice meditation just before the Lord appears here, and hence all of these individuals are dancing and bathing in ecstasy. And here we go. Brahmana sajananari nana dravitala bari aila sabha yukta laila yena kanchayona duti deka balakara murti Ashirvadakare Shukapan. All sorts of respectable Brahmin ladies, gentlemen carrying plates filled with various gifts came with their presentation. Seeing the newborn child whose form resembled natural glaring gold, all of them with happiness offered their blessings. And coming to today's verse. Translation. Dressing themselves as the wife of Brahmanas, all the celestial ladies, including the wives of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Nrsingadev, King Indra, and Vashishtha Rishi, and Rumba, a dancing girl of heaven, came there with varieties of gifts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a newly born baby, he was visited by the neighboring ladies, most of whom were the wives of respectable brahmanas. In the dress of brahmanas' wives, celestial ladies like the wives of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also came to see the newly born child. Ordinary people saw them as neighborhood respectful Brahman ladies, but actually they were all celestial ladies dressed in that way. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhayivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So we're continuing in this reading. At a very festive time of Kartik here at Bhaktivedanta Manam, with so many wonderful festivals in the next few weeks here. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like, it has 11,000 verses, over 62 chapters. So if we were thinking of a good Kartik Vrat, I thought, what could be better than finish the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita reading that now? That might need a bit of time. But I thought that was a good one. I was just browsing through this morning's verses. I was thinking that would be a great meditation. To read through all these 11,000 verses. Don't know how long that would take if you read it 8 hours a day. A few weeks? Week? Not long. Not long. So I thought it was a great meditation for Kartik for us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says this about the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his Vani. If somehow all the books in the world were destroyed, leaving only Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the people of this world could still achieve the ultimate goal of life. And then he says, even if Srimad Bhagavatam were lost, leaving only Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would be no loss to humanity. For whatever has not been revealed in the Bhagavatam is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhaktisiddhanta speaking on that, which I thought was quite interesting. And then he concludes, the absolute truth is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is his sound incarnation, within which is found the divine mystery of Radharani's divine status and glories. Therefore, can there be any doubt concerning the supreme status of this transcendental literature? From his Vani Vaibhava. Speaking of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So wonderful. It's a great inspiration for us to meditate on those thoughts of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And speaking of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bengal and Mayapur, I'd also like to announce that we want to say goodbye to Upendra Prabhu, who is permanently moving to Sridhar Mayapur. Arivo! So he's been with us how many years now? Here in the UK? 6 years. 6 years. So he's originally from there, but he's now going back to reside there and serve in Sridhar Mayapur. So thank you for your association there. And welcome back, Mother Sachi, as well. And you're mentioned in the verse here today, Sachin. I thought, okay, here we are. And welcome back, Radhika Priti as well. Just for from New York as well. So many devotees coming and going. So I think this verse is, you can say many things on it, and the demigods coming disguised is a good thought within the purport there. And throughout the Bhagavatam, there are many, many stories where the demigods, they come disguised in a variety of ways. Here, specifically, they're coming because they wanted to see the personality of Godhead. And as the demigods don't come anymore, as Prabhupada said, since Kali Yuga began, previously they were coming, but now they don't come. So they come in other forms. And here they're coming dressed as the wives of the Brahmins. And you'll find many other stories in the Bhagavatam where the demigods, they do come disguised. So that's an interesting thought for us. King Shibhi, if you might remember the story of King Shibhi. And in the Bhagavatam, where he was approached by a pigeon, which was being chased by an eagle. That story is there as well. And of course the pigeon said, I'm now your praja. Praja means I'm now part of your population, you have to give me shelter. So the king Shibhi said, yes, of course I will. And the eagle said, I'm also your praja. So what do I eat now? Can I have the same amount of flesh as there is in the pigeon? Of course, and then there was a weighing scale. And the pigeon stood on one side of the weighing scale, and King Shibhi, he had to remove flesh equivalent to the... Now, the pigeon doesn't weigh much. At Trafalgar Square, they weigh a lot, but the ones locally, otherwise here, the woodland pigeons are quite small. So he cut off some of his flesh, and the scale wasn't moving at all. And he had to cut more and more, very different to Hiranyakashipu and all the other austerities, but he was cutting off all of his flesh and nothing was happening. The pigeon's scale wasn't moving at all. Then, of course, the hawk or the eagle, these were the two demigods. Indra. And who was the other demigod? Agni, yes. Indra and Agni. They had come to test King Shibhi to see if he would be charitable, if he would be keep his word. So they, of course, they also took those forms as well. So there are many other pastimes. Any other stories anyone can think of? Well, the demigods come disguised. Rantidev, yes. Rantidev as well. Everyone remembers the pastime of Rantidev as well. Very charitable. Yes. Famous pastime that I think Prabhupada was speaking at Conway Hall, and there was only not many devotees there. And they apologized to Prabhupada that not many devotees, not many guests, no one had come. And Prabhupada said, did you not see Narada Muni was sitting there? He was sitting and listening. And he said, actually, all the devatas were there. They all wanted to hear the Bhagavatam. And it said that wherever the Bhagavatam is spoken, the demigods, they come. And they come and hear. I don't know if they come disguised, and if there's a demigod sitting here today or coming disguised, well, but they may come disguised. You know, some guest appears, he's sitting there in the Bhagavatam class, you don't know who he is. The demigods could be coming disguised. Prabhupada, when he was in America, Atlanta, he was in Kirtan, and then all of a sudden, he started laughing. And his laughter increased in volume more and more and more. And then the devotees were wondering, why is Prabhupada laughing? Is it the wrong beat? Is it, you know, are we singing the wrong melody? What is it? And then Prabhupada laughed even more and more, and he was so joyous. And then when they asked Prabhupada, he said Narada Muni had come. And Narada Muni, he was watching how the malechas were now chanting and dancing, he said. And he said, seeing Narada Muni laughing and dancing, I was also laughing and dancing. So it requires some vision to see these things. Other stories, Harishchandra, King Harishchandra was another one, wasn't it? The very truthful, he was tested by the demigods equally. Severely tested, if you read the entire story of that, that practically, right to the end, he'd given everything up. And Vashishtha Muni was testing him. And the pledge between the demigods was that he should tell a lie. And Harishchandra, he wouldn't tell a lie. So Vashishtha said, I'm going to make him tell a lie. So, the demigods came disguised at different individuals. And he was tested. And Vashishtha was very clever. Vashishtha said, in my dream, you came to me and you gave me your kingdom. So Harishchandra said, well, that must be true. You can have my kingdom. Speaking of dreams and all of these things. And of course, after that, Vashishtha had given him 1,000 gold coins. And he said that, can I have that gold coins now? And Harishchandra, of course, couldn't give him because now it all belonged to him. So he said, now you have to work. You and your family have to work and give that back to me. So, of course, the story unfolds. And in due course, he has to sell the family into slavery. And he has to work. He himself is sold and he works in the crematorium. And then, of course, his son dies from a snake bite. And then his wife comes to cremate the son. And then he doesn't recognize it. And he says, you cannot cremate until you pay the tax. There's a tax at the crematorium. She said, well, you must give. And eventually, of course, Vashishtha comes and says, look, if you just lie now... And he says, no, I will not lie. Then, of course, a prince is killed, if I remember rightly. And then his wife is accused of killing the prince. And Vashishtha organizes that. And then now his wife has to be executed. It gets to that level. And then the only person who executes also works at the crematorium. So it's Harishchandra. He has to execute the queen. So now Vashishtha says, now you will have to lie. And then all the superintendents were all there and so on and so forth, of course. But he agrees. He said, I will not lie. So then all the demigods, they all come and say, you have passed. He was the king of Ayodhya, Harishchandra. So when he came, all the demigods said, what benediction do you want? And Indra said that I will immediately take you to heaven. Seeing that the verse is about Indra here as well. And Harishchandra said, no, I will not go. Anyone know why he said no? He said, I will not go because I have a responsibility to my citizens because they should also go to heaven. And they said, well, that's not possible. They have no piety, whatever. But because he would not accept that, all the demigods said the entire population of Ayodhya can enter into the heavens because of the vows that Harishchandra took, that even he was not willing to go to heaven. So these are all the different stories. Prabhupada would speak about that often the demigods, they will take birth in this movement as well. Because this is a good way to go back to the spiritual realm as well. So often the quote is there that the demigods, the children of the society will be the demigods that will come in the form of demigods. So many of you have demigods at home. They may not be behaving like demigods. But Prabhupada did say that. He said they would come in the form of the children of the devotees. They would equally. Are there stories in book distribution that the demigods will come and take some books? I was hearing someone and in a class, and they said that often the demigods will come even to accept some books from you when you're on the street, just to encourage you, just to encourage you. So who's to know? They're even coming. Because you notice a person, isn't it, on book distribution, looks a bit all not there, and then he disappears. Takes a book, and you look around, they've gone. So who knows? These could be demigods who are coming. They also want to read Prabhupada's books. They also want to do that. There is the birth of Lord Chaitanya has a great comparison equally with the birth of Lord Krishna, because the demigods are coming here. Also, the demigods, they appeared when Krishna was born in at the same time, giving gifts. And if you look at the comparative religions, they'll speak of the birth of Christ. And they seem to have a similar story. That specific principle is there when they're born. So Christ was born when the brightest sky, brightest star was right above the manger. So of course Krishna's birth is very similar. The Rohini Nakshatra. That nakshatra is present when Krishna appears at that time. And then, of course, the similarities there of the killing of the babies, King Herod, at least in Matthew, which is there. Herod, he kills all the firstborn child. So Kamsa has the same idea. And, of course, who comes to give gifts to Christ? The three wise men, and where were they from? The East. They were from the East. It says they were from the East. So, of course, this is the same thing. The demigods, they're appearing here in Lord Chaitanya's appearing. The wives of the demigods are appearing. And what are the gifts that are brought to Christ? Anyone remember the story of Christmas? Frankincense and myrrh. It's exactly the same here. Sandalwood, frankincense, myrrh. These are all the gifts that the demigods are bringing. So very, very similar, very similar. A question could be asked, who is borrowing from whom? So it's interesting, the Indologists, when they came to India, they dated the Puranas with the birth of Christ, with the birth of Krishna as 1400 years only. They said these stories are only 1400 years old. Because Christianity is 2000 years old. So it's interesting that they did that so that no one could say, well, let's say who's borrowing from whom here? Because you're only 1400 years. We're 2000 in that sense. So these were some thoughts, on just this verse, and then it goes on. From here tomorrow, and we have some special guests that are coming tomorrow. Chaitanya Charya is coming class, but he's carrying on for three mornings, isn't he? So we have Chaitanya Charya coming tomorrow morning, or today. He's doing a course for the college. You might have heard of Chaitanya Charya from Pune. Every BTG he'll be writing. There's an article by Chaitanya. He's a prolific writer. And he has about, I don't know, 20, 30 books that he writes. So he's giving class for three mornings here, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And he's also doing some courses for the college as well. In the latest BTG, he's written something on the month of Kartik as well. That you'll find that as well. So we'll get to hear a lot of that as well. Seeing that this is the month of Kartik, this is Rupa Goswami in his Mathura Mahatmya. He says as follows. To those who worship Krishna in Vrindavan, the Lord gives them their original spiritual form. The perfect atonement to purify the sins of a lifetime is to worship Lord Damodar in Vrindavan during Kartik. The month of Kartik spent in Vrindavan brings the supreme destination. Rupa Goswami speaking, and Prabhupada said, he said, all my temples are Vrindavan, so we can take it a little license there, that we may not be able to go there, but we consider that all our temples are Vrindavan. So it's interesting, he says, the perfect atonement to purify the sins of a lifetime, to worship Krishna in the month of Damodar. And once I was in Vrindavan during this time, and it's interesting, that the Brijabasis, because Mother Yashoda, the natural love for Krishna is there. And I was speaking with some Brijabasis, and they were speaking about Invarsana, and there's an ashram there of Ramesh Baba and so on, and they were telling me a story of how he's the Mahant of the area, I believe. So he meets everyone. And he was telling a story of how when the ladies in the village marry, they'll marry someone in another village. So he will always instruct them how to remain Krishna conscious, he said. So he said, this is the great love that the Brijabasis have. So generally he was describing that when, he was describing two girls and their Krishna consciousness. He said, how the Brijabasis, they live in a house. And he said, when they wake up in the morning, the girls, when they wake up in the morning, they will not open their eyes. A bit like us, when we wake up, we'll definitely not be opening our eyes. But he said, they will not open their eyes. Then, he said, what they will do is that they will just feel the wall. And then they will feel the wall and they will keep their eyes closed and come down the stairs in the house. And then they will feel their way into the temple in the home. And then with the eyes closed still, they'll open the curtain and then they will open their eyes. And I thought that was a great meditation. I thought, wow. He said, this is the training. Brijabasis have this natural love, he said, that they have to see Krishna first when they get up. So anyway, he described it how the two girls got married, and they got married in another village, and the husbands were not prone to Krishna. So they didn't allow this practice. He said, you can't do this. So when he met these two girls, and he asked, what are you doing now? He said, we're not allowed to do this. We've been doing it for a whole life. That we, first thing we see in the morning is Krishna and Radharani. First thing we see. So they said, but we are not listening to the family. What we do is that we have a locket of Radha and Krishna, and we will not open our eyes in the morning, and we will open the locket and then look at them first. So I thought, this is great love that the Brijabasis have. Great love that they have for Krishna. Whatever their circumstances, and this pastime of Mother Yashoda brings to all of us, the meditation of Satyarat Muni, a combination of poetry, a combination of prayer, a combination of a song, the Damodar Ashtika. It's a combination of all of these three things, because it's beautiful poetry, it's a prayer, and it's a song. All three are rolled into one. Satyavrata Muni, he puts all three together within the Ashtika. And Ashtikas are famous because they're always in eights. You come for Mangalarti, Ashtika, Guru Ashtika, eight verses glorifying the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya, he speaks the entire philosophy in Ashtika, six Ashtika, eight verses. So similarly, Satyavrat Muni, he has Ashtika as well. He says eight verses of the Dhammadashtikam, which is there. I just thought I'd reflect on the first couple of verses, how verse one is all about the uncatchable is caught. That personality who cannot be caught is caught. The uncatchable is caught. And the nice meditation on that verse, as we've heard so much from different speakers on the Dhammadharashtikam, but specifically the ornaments that we wear make us more beautiful, isn't it, generally? Jewelry, this, that, they're meant to make us more beautiful. But when the ornaments, they are placed on Krishna, they become more beautiful. So the earrings of Krishna are being described in the first verse, which are swinging to and fro. And Sanatan Goswami, in his Tika, he speaks of this, that especially the earrings are very fortunate, because when Krishna is running as a child, they're swinging to and fro. And why are they so fortunate? Sanatan Goswami is saying that at every moment they're swinging this way and then they're kissing Krishna. Swinging this way and they're kissing Krishna. So he said the ornaments of Krishna are being described so wonderfully that everyone is envious of the earrings, because only the earrings are being mentioned in that first verse as such. The second verse really is about bound not by the rope's length, but by the devotion's depth. The Bhagavatam, interestingly, it states that in the third canto, that if you meditate on the beautiful smile of the Lord, it can evaporate an ocean of tears. If you meditate on the smile of the Lord, it can evaporate an ocean of tears. But here, we find that the Lord is in tears. So, contradiction here. But of course, these are all transcendental realm here. And the commentaries there of the 2 inches, the 2 fingers, which is Parishram, and Krishna Kripa. Parishram means our endeavor. And is that sufficient? And Krishna Kripa. And you know, the Christians have a similar thought. If you chat to them, they're divided, that how do you obtain Christ? Some say by work, and others say by faith. And they don't agree with each other. But here, the Dhammadharashtikam is bringing both together. That Parishram, you need the work, the sadhana. But at the same time, you need the faith, or here, as we say, Krishna's grace. Both are required. Can our endeavor replace the grace of Krishna? Can it force the mercy of Krishna? I don't think so. But what we can do is, by endeavoring, is we can attract the grace of Krishna. We may not be able to force it. We may not be able to replace, but we can attract Krishna's mercy just by this. And different devotees make lots of resolutions in this month. There's an interesting story of going back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, Mahaprabhu speaks of how you can attract grace or the mercy of Krishna when he says Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorabi Sahishnina, that humility attracts the grace of Krishna. There's an interesting story of Benjamin Franklin. We've all heard of Benjamin Franklin, one of the founders of America, scientist, scholar, politician. He has all the different titles, Benjamin Franklin. And if you don't know him, he's the man that, with the famous quote, where he says there's only one thing sure in this world. He says, death and taxes. It comes from Benjamin Franklin. It's his quote. When he was growing up, he would live by what he called the 12 virtues. He had 12 virtues and he lived by them. And every day, at the end of the day, he would look at his list that these are the 12 things I want to live by. What, how have I done? And he would tick them off. He would tick them off. And then a friend of his came and said, what are these 12 virtues that you have? You live by them. Just for your interest, if you wanted to know what they were. He says there were temperance, which means not eating too much, not moderation. He called it temperance. Silence, speaking when you need to. Order, resolution, frugality. He had industry, sincerity, justice, moderation, cleanliness, tranquility, chastity. These were his 12 things. So his friend, he came up to him and he said, you know, I think you're very proud and arrogant and you need to add a 13th one, which is humility. And Benjamin Franklin thought, wow, I never thought of that. He said, okay, I'll add one more. So he added that when he was 24. And Benjamin Franklin, he died at the age of 87, 60-odd years later. So his friend, he came up to him and he said, how did you do with the 13 virtues that you live by? And he said, well, I managed 12 of them. He said, really? He said, yeah, I managed 12 of them. Every day I write in my diary that I managed all 12. He said, which one did you not manage? And he said, humility. He said, but I'm very happy now that I'm dying, because every day when I thought I had humility, I realized I'd become proud. Every day when I thought I'd gasped it, I realized that it was slipping away from my hands. But he said, I'm very happy because I endeavored tremendously. So I think these 2 inches or 2 fingers, endeavoring. There's a joy in endeavoring, whether it's Kartik, whether it's the whole year, whether it's the book marathon, endeavoring. And whether we succeed or not, I think, is a secondary principle. Bhava Grahi Janadana. Krishna's name is this, that one who sees the intent, not the result. So that's a very important principle that we can all think on. From Benjamin Franklin, of all people, who was gasping for this humility, because through humility we will attract the grace, the mercy of Krishna. That's an important thing that will come up. Tomorrow is also Bahulashtami, the appearance of Radha Kund. So that's there as well. Wonderful day for all of us. Aristasura, the whole pastime, it's all there. So we'll hear more maybe tomorrow from it, maybe not. But tomorrow is also the Abhishek. We have Abhishek tomorrow as part of the 50th anniversary of little Radha Gokul Nanda. They wanted to do it on an auspicious day in Kartik, so they've picked Radha Kund's appearance day. So that's tomorrow after class. And that will just be on the altar with the pujaris, otherwise it will take too long. So they'll do that tomorrow morning as well. There are interesting days, just to end on this class, coming up this week as well. We always generally think of Govardhan Puja, perhaps Diwali, different things. But they begin with Dhan Triodasi on Thursday. Dhan Triodasi, Triodasi, of course, Krishna Paksha, the 13th day of the moon cycle. And why is it interesting? Because Dhan Triodasi marks the appearance of Dhanvantri, the founder of Ayurveda. And we have the Ayurveda conference going on here, so that's interesting that it marks that. he appeared out of the churning of the ocean of milk. So Dhan Trayodashi is an interesting day as well. The day after that, the next day, is also very interesting. It's called Naraka Chaturdasi. The 14th day, it's the day that Krishna, he killed the demon Narakasura in South India. And he rescued the 16,000 queens. And in India, in South India, they consider that the biggest day, more than Govardhan Puja, Diwali, any of these things. They consider Naraka Chaturdasi is the most important day. And then the next day is Amavasya, no moon. And it's many celebrations, obviously. The goddess Lakshmi appeared out of the churning of the ocean of milk on that day as well. Lakshmi Pujan, they call it. It's the day when Lord Ramachandra, he comes back after 14 years of exile as well. And it's the day that the Damodar Leela happened. So we can remember Lord Damodar. That's the day that Mother Yashoda was chasing. And then the next day, of course, very important for us. This is all coming up to the weekend. That's Sunday is Diwali here with the festival. But then Monday is the most auspicious day of Govardhan Puja. So we'll have that celebration as well when the pride of Indra is removed by Krishna on that day as well. So we'll be able to celebrate that as well. Of course, it's the official day to worship cows, Gopuja. And it's also the day of Anakut when Krishna has offered the mountains of foodstuffs on that day as well. It's also considered that that's the day that Bali Maharaj was defeated by Vamandev. He took the three steps on that day as well. The three steps, they happen on that day. We don't generally look at all of the calendars, but that's on that day as well. And the next day, we don't celebrate it here as such, but it is Yama Tritiya, which is the day when Yamaraj, he visited his sister. Yamaraj's sister is Yamuna. And because he visited his sister and he said, anyone who visits their sister on this day, I give a benediction that all their sins of previous lives will be removed. And I also give the benediction that they will not meet untimely death. So Yam Dvitiya, which is on that day as well. So these are some festivities around this time. And they continue, of course, our biggest festival of the month of Kartik. And the most meditative is the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. So that's coming up the following week as well. Festivals never end here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So any comments, any questions from anyone? It's already up. Hare Krishna.